You know, the English, parturition. Partus means birth. Mary was a virgin, ante, partum, before giving birth. Mary was a virgin in partu, in giving birth. Her giving birth to Christ was unlike that of other women. Mary had no labor pains. Who remembers? Back in Genesis, why do women have labor pains? Because of sin. As Eve found out. And all the daughters of Eve ever since. And Mary preserved her virginity postpartum, after giving birth. I cannot tell you what learned heresy is being printed nowadays. A woman calling herself a Catholic theologian. May God forgive the title. Recently published a book on the illegitimacy of Jesus. And she is teaching at a Catholic university, and I don't want to identify the university. Mary's assumption. What do we mean by Mary's assumption into heaven? We mean that unlike her divine son, who ascended into heaven by his own divine power and with his own human will, Mary, unlike Jesus, was assumed passive voice. She may have died. Most likely she did. But her assumption, get it, was the reunion of her body and soul. The essence of the assumption is bodily presence in heaven by Mary. 1950, November the 1st, then Pope Pius XII defined Mary's bodily assumption. Some 800 bishops came to Rome for the occasion. And the definition, and watch this, you do not find in Scripture anything have any kind of clarity or explicitness. I'll tell you a word about Mary's bodily assumption. Period. So what? Question mark. Mary's bodily assumption, being defined by the church, is one of the strong evidences of the church, Catholic Church, not depending on Scripture for God's revelation. Otherwise, as I've told so many Protestants, we would not even know what the Bible is. Nowhere in the Bible do you find the four Gospels are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. How do you know? How do you know? Yeah, we say from revealed tradition. But I don't believe it. Well, then you better stop believing in the Bible, my friend. So Mary's bodily assumption is based mainly on revealed tradition. Why? In order to be like her divine son, so she who gave him his humanity, his bodily life, might also be with him. He in body, she in body. As I think I've quoted to you in one other class, the day after defining Mary's bodily assumption, Pope Pius XII, speaking to the assembled hierarchy, told them One reason he was defining Mary's bodily assumption is because Mary is arising, he says, such idolatry of the human body as the world has never known before, that we, learning from Mary's bodily assumption, might sacrifice our bodily pleasures to the God who made us in body and soul, believing as we do that provided we are faithful in serving God in soul and body, like Mary, we too will have our bodily assumption. How is Mary assumed into heaven? Clearly, by divine power. We may say by her divine Son. Did she have to go through the millions of light years of space from earth to heaven? No. Because remember, we've defined heaven, I'm sure, more than once. Heaven is the enjoyment of the presence of God, the experience of God's presence gives such joy as no one else but God can give. That's why we should have a foretaste of heaven here on earth. No wonder so many people are sinning. The idiots, they're looking for happiness where it cannot be found. The only true happiness that can be found, either on earth or in heaven, is in doing the will of God. And the most devastating blasphemy that the devil himself coined is that happiness is found in doing your own will. That was coined by the devil in hell. And he has many followers in the world today. Mary's queenship as Mother of God and as Mother of the Church. Mary then is a queen, as a queen mother, meaning what? Mary has rights over us that as a mother of God she enjoys because she shares in her own divine Son's rights. Kings and queens have rights. Mary has claims. Claims on whom? Claims on those whom her Son has given to be their queen. Now, devotion to Mary. I ask myself, should I spend this class? Because as you see, we are entering an immense subject. Devotion to Mary means many things, but it especially means four things. I skip one thing regarding doctrine, Mary's mediation. The Church has coined various words, mediatrix of divine grace. We speak of Our Lady as co-redemptrix. May we use that word? Yes, provided we understand that whatever mediation of grace Our Lady engaged past tense or engages present tense in is always totally subordinate to that of divine Son. You'll see more about mediation when we take up devotion to Our Lady. There are four levels of devotion to Our Lady. They are veneration, intercession, invocation, and imitation. What do? When we venerate Our Lady, when we venerate Our Lady, we honor Our Lady, we praise Our Lady, we think and speak well of Our Lady. Veneration is knowledge which leads to praise. Knowledge which leads to praise. And thus, let's recite the Hail Mary together till I tell you to stop. Not sure I've gone through this formula before, have I? Well, nothing like a second time. Together. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, stop. See, thanks for stopping. Those are seven acts of veneration of Our Lady. We haven't asked for a thing. Just talking to Our Lady, addressing her by name. Hail Mary. And we say she's full of grace. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. And blessed is the fruit of your womb. Holy Mary, Mother of God, seven acts of veneration. Let's get as down to earth as we can in the short time at our disposal. What if I do this? I don't want to deprive Our Lady of anything. Let's go till 10 of 4. And then whatever questions you have, write them out and pass them around the side. And if necessary, either stay a little longer if you want to, or find some free time for all of us to just answer questions. Veneration is built on knowledge. We venerate only a person whom we know. I think I should ask a question. If you're embarrassed in answering, please be honest. How many of you have at least one book on the Blessed Virgin in your home? Hey. I won't go on beyond that one. Congratulations. Did I tell you? I asked the missionaries of charity in the Bronx once, tell you this? How many books in Our Lady they had? Well, they weren't sure. On occasion, the question was that in another community in Chicago, the Daughters of St. Mary of Providence, I asked them how many books in Our Lady they had in their convent library. They came up with 54. I told the missionaries of charity, the sisters in Chicago told me, they have 54 books in Our Lady in their convent library. Father, I report to you next week. They gave me a list of 102 books. I didn't ever ask them if they borrowed some of those books. There are many books in Our Lady. My first sermon as a Jesuit, after taking my vows, was on the house of Loretto. I spent months researching. I can prove to anybody, and I'll roll up my sleeves if they disagree. The house of Loretto was the place Our Lady received the Annunciation from the angel. I can prove it. So knowledge. Learn all you can about the Blessed Virgin. And she's been revealing herself, as we know now, over the centuries. Intercession. We distinguish between intercession and invocation. Strictly speaking, in good theological language, we invoke Our Lady so she might intercede with her divine Son. As by now we all know, and it's not even our fault, we now have the Third International Websters to prove it. We can no longer define any word in English, so Webster's tell us. But my friends, you better define the English words you use as a Catholic. You better know what you mean when you use a word like intercession. Strictly speaking, we Catholics do not pray to Our Lady the language everybody uses, so might just as well use it. So many confused people anyhow won't make much difference. But more correctly, we speak to Our Lady indeed, but we pray through her to her divine Son. Let's continue where we left off. Pray for us sinners. Now, and at the hour of our death, what are we doing? We are addressing Our Lady indeed, but we're asking her to intercede. The Latin preposition inter means between. Between whom? Between Christ and us. The most powerful intercessor is Mary. And why? Because we have as much influence on God, if I can use that expression, as we are close to Him. And there is no one but no one who has more influence with the Divine Son than His mother. Why? Because she is the most pleasing to Him. But then, invocation is what we do. Intercession is what Mary does. Am I clear? We invoke her. We ask her for what we need. And in praying, as we popularly say, to Our Lady, in invoking Mary, it would not even be true that the sky is the limit. Is the sky the limit? No. The word sky, well, symbolizes not just the physical sky. Symbolizes heaven. and looking already penetrates the skies. Who remembers the situation at Cana in Galilee? By now we've almost memorized what happened. A wedding feast. What's a wedding feast without wine? Now, it's not clear whether they did not have enough wine or too many people or they drank too much. Whatever. But they ran out of wine. Not quite sure they knew they ran out of wine. In fact, he foresaw they were going to run out of wine. Mary noticed it. So, she tells her son, "Son, they've run out of wine." And in fact, he tells her, "Thanks for the information, Mother." He knew perfectly well. Oh, how well he knew his mother. "My time has not yet come." By the way, Christ never worked a miracle. Never worked a miracle, as far as we can safely say, at Nazareth. Could he have spared his mother the cookie that she did? Or spared Joseph the trouble of, well, carpentry to make a livelihood? And this is where the apocryphal gospels are so silly. I did tell you, didn't I, about the time where the child Jesus was helping Joseph? I'm sure I did. And Joseph miscalculated. He made the bench separate from the seat. And he made the bench bigger than the seat. So there was Joseph and Jesus. I'm repeating, this is the Apocryphal Gospels. With a big bench and a small seat. So according to the Apocrypha, Jesus said, "Joseph, don't worry. You take one side of the seat, I'll take the other. You hold and I'll pull." Just the right size. No. Christ did not work miracles until he began to preach. Because that's the purpose of Christ working miracles. And this is very much part of our Mariology. Very much. As I told an audience in Toledo, are some of you there? Mary, the model catechist for parents. Deep faith that she had. If your parents want to be good catechists to your children, first, most important, without which everything else is useless, you must yourselves have a strong, deep faith. So, what happened? Did Mary take that as a rebuke? No. She went off and told the servants, "You go back to my son and do whatever he tells you to do." He didn't give his mother those instructions, right? And the logic of our faith remains today. You invoke Our Lady, and If you need a miracle, now what's the verb? If you need a miracle, what's the verb I should not use? If you want a miracle, am I clear? If you need a miracle, what will happen? No problem. You get a miracle. It works. And that is why, over the centuries, and especially in our modern unbelieving world, the two most famous shrines of Our Lady in the world, of Lourdes and Fatima, miracles. We need them. And the purpose of the miracles is to do what? To enable us to believe. Or you can believe without a miracle. But then you're believing unreasonably. I prefer the word, you're believing irrationally. I hope you know. Who remembers the dates? The dates of the definition of Mary's Immaculate Conception and the date of Our Lady's appearance or appearances to Saint Bernadette at Lourdes. Who remembers the dates? No.
1854,
the Doctrine of the Immaculate Conception.
1858 was when Our Lady appeared.
So which came first?
The Doctrine of the Immaculate Conception.
The definition came first. What year did you say?
1854.
And what did you say for Lourdes?
1858.
Okay. In the years of teaching theology, I've always had one thesis, because we used to teach in the scholastic method, the only way that really works, that the Pope defined Mary's Immaculate Conception, exercising his infallibility. That is, the whole Catholic world to believe in Mary's Immaculate Conception. And he exercised, did he call a council of the church? No. Just me, myself, and I, said Pope Pius IX. So then, what happened? Then, Lourdes began. And been going on ever since. Lourdes is the divine confirmation of papal authority. How we need that today. When in so many over-educated circles, as I think I've told you, the most dangerous people in the world are educated ignoramuses. They've got the vocabulary, they have the prestige, they've got, well, the cap and gown at graduation. But what fools PhDs can be, I know. Pope's authority has been challenged in the last century, as never before in the history of the church. Mary's miracles, not only is her son who works the miracles, but even as she asked him to work his first miracle, so I feel safe in saying she's going to ask him to work his last miracle. As I learned from my widowed mother, The word mother, I'm sure I've said this before, is both a noun and a verb. The noun takes place where the child is born. The verb goes on and on and on into all eternity. Finally, imitation. First of all, imitating Mary in her state of life as virgin and mother. Mary is patron of both virgins and mothers. Clearly, a never again to be duplicated combination. And her virtues. I have nine. By the way, my standard course in Mariology is one semester, when I can, two semesters. And of course, I spend all the time I can on Mary's virtues. But the two virtues, especially of Our Lady, that we ought to learn and imitate are her faith and her trust. Faith, as we know, means the assent by the intellect to everything which God has revealed. No one's faith has been more tried or tested than Mary's. She believed what the angel told her, that the child she would conceive would be her God. She believed during the 9 months of her pregnancy, she was carrying her Creator in her womb. She believed. And that is why, for 19 centuries, we've been commemorating Saturday in honor of Our Lady. Under the cross, as everyone else, either ran away or had no doubt this was the end. She alone, the first Holy Saturday, has become the model for every Saturday until the end of time, has two names, either Faith Day or Mary's Day. Her faith in her divine Son, that having been murdered and dying on the cross, he would raise himself from the dead. And as I learned in the Society of Jesus, Our Lord first appeared to her mother, to his mother, on Easter Sunday. And trust, trusting especially that the strength she needed to do the will of God would be fulfilled. When she told the angel, "Be it done to me according to your will." As I've told audiences over the years, the key word is that preposition to. Oh, happy we are when God does things for us. We sing, hallelujah. But when God does things to us that we don't like, that's the real test of trust in God. God will never do anything to us without providing us with the light and strength we need to not only patiently resign ourselves, but, my last chance to say it in this context, to enjoy the experience. The joy of suffering out of love. Only those who live it can understand. Thanks for the class so far.